Hello, everybody. You're listening to Money Grows on Trees. I'm your host, Pastor Alfred. Money Grows on Trees is a series of broadcasts that briefly highlight certain portions of information in books that I've written or books that I'm currently writing that give insights into money. To get more information like this, as well as a range of different broadcast series, go to PastorAlfred.com and subscribe. Also note that you also have an opportunity to invest in the Pastor Alfred company as well as in subscribing to the different packages that we have, I believe, available. More information on that is on the site. Today I want to talk to you and inform you about something very important. It's something that I have hinted at before in a different broadcast series, but I want to focus on it and break it down in a simple and a quick way for you to really get. And the topic of today's broadcast is: no company should ever go out of business unless the owner wants it to. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 3 to verse 4 using the King James Version of the Bible. True wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wow. Now, let me read that same portion of the Bible using the Living Bible translation. Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. You see, this is very powerful and very important. You see, it is important that you know the value of wisdom when it comes to building your life and building your finances, building your business, building your enterprise. You see, let us look at Proverbs 8 from verse 17 to 18. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. You see, this is wisdom speaking. Wisdom is telling you that it loves those who love her. In other words, do you want wisdom to love you and to work for you? You must love wisdom. You see, there are a lot of people who ask stupid questions and say, if God loves me, why did this happen to me? Or if there is a God, why did this happen? No, there is your part to play. You have to play your part. You see, this portion of the scripture is telling us that I love them that love me. This is wisdom speaking. Do you want the benefits of wisdom? It's saying riches and honor are with me. Yeah, durable riches and righteousness. Do you want riches? Do you want honor? Do you want durable riches? Riches that do not end. Riches that are not riches that go up and come down. You know, some people, their prosperity is it goes up and it comes down. Their financial statements is like the stock market. It is always rising and falling. No. Do you want riches that keeps going up? In spite of inflation, in spite of wars, in spite of chaos, your riches keep going up. You would have to have wisdom. You have to understand that, yes, wisdom is this powerful. Is it possible for you to prosper and to be getting richer in spite of inflation, in spite of economic difficulty in your country or globally, in spite of the stock market crashing, in spite of all the disasters in the world happening at the same time, can you still be rising and growing financially? Yes, but with wisdom. And can you do it without doing anything dishonest at the same time? Yes, because you can see it here, durable riches and righteousness. So these two things work together. All you have to have is wisdom, you see. And you have to understand that wisdom in itself longs for more knowledge. So when you have wisdom, you go after more knowledge and understanding. Note that there is the place of the quality of knowledge and understanding. Not all knowledge or information is true knowledge or information. You see, not all knowledge or information is worthy to be called knowledge. You see, after all, there are light magazines, and a lot of, as a matter of fact, a lot of the information that crisscrosses around the world is not true information. It is not godly information. It is not helpful information. It is not information that helps you. Let us say you are watching a movie. When you are watching a movie, you are getting information about the events in the movie, the characters in the movie. You are increasing in knowledge. You are getting information put inside you. But how is that information going to translate into your life? You see, somebody who reads dirty magazines, that is information. But that is not helpful information. As a matter of fact, that is dangerous information. That is information that is destroying the person. Somebody who watches CNN or a lot of the news channels who focus on bad news, you are putting information inside you. But what information you are putting inside you is poison. You are putting dangerous information inside you. So there is a lot of knowledge and information that is going around, even in the school systems, that is going to destroy you. You see, nowadays, a lot of schools are just for propaganda. You see, they have left studying about the different subjects that they are supposed to be studying to build people for certain professions. They have left that and have added all kinds of things that have no business being involved. They have added their own political beliefs, their own version of morals, you see, their own ideology of how the world should look. They have added all of that into the educational system. All of that information doesn't help you. But you see, when you have wisdom, you'll be able to differentiate between true knowledge and information and false knowledge, you see, and information, you know, the false one, the information that doesn't help you. So this is something that you must understand. Now, we are talking about something very important. The topic of today's broadcast is: no company should ever go out of business unless the owner wants to. This is something that I actually got from the Spirit of God and reading and studying and really looking at companies. You must understand something very powerful and important. Your company is a representative of you. It basically is you. So your company dying is like you dying. It's like your dreams dying. It's like your ambitions dying. You see, you have to understand what a company truly is. And when you do that, it will change how you structure it and how you look at it. You know that a company actually cannot go out of business. Have you given up? You see, what does that mean? How can a company go out of business? Let us say that you start a company that is a bakery. You sell bread, but after months or years of trying, all you see is losses. What do you do now? How about moving to cake? You see, how about trying a restaurant? But with that same business that is registered, with that same company, you have gained some experience now. You have learned at least a lot about what you should not do. You know, the gentleman who invented electricity, he failed so many times. And when he was asked, he said, well, I have just learned a large number of ways. He specified the number of times he failed. And he said that is the amount of ways that he has learned how not to do it. You see, so you have that company also can continue and should continue. You are not cursed to follow one pattern. It's not like you start a company to sell bread, because bread fails, you close down the company. There are other things to do. You can start cake. If cake does not work, there's macaroni, or you can just mix everything. You can sell all different kinds of foods. If that doesn't work out, you can still move to something else. You can try farming. If farming doesn't work, you can try poultry. There are so many different things, but you see, a company is not limited to just one product or one idea. That is something that you have to understand. You see, you are actually supposed to build a company in a way that is going to be able to change, it's going to be able to be flexible. You see, because there are going to be changes in the market, there are going to be changes when it comes to customer demand and the number of competitors that you have and what the competitors are doing. So many things are going to change. So you have to plan a company with that in mind, knowing that things are going to change, knowing that there are going to be times when certain things are not going to look a certain way. And that is actually wisdom. When you plan for the famine, when the famine comes, you will be experiencing abundance. Look at the story of Joseph in Egypt. After he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, you see, and he explained the meaning of the lean cows swallowing the fat cows. You see, when Pharaoh gave him the position of governor, and Joseph was governor, that famine period where the people of Egypt were supposed to be suffering and hungry like everybody else, they were enjoying. They still had food. They had abundance. In fact, they had so much that they were able to sell to others. You see, they had so much that they had enough for other people, not just for Egypt. So when you have wisdom, it will put you in a position where in the famine, you'll be going higher. When you have wisdom, your life just keeps on going up and up. Remember the passage of the scripture that we read. It said durable riches. Your riches are durable. It's going to last. It is not a prosperity that goes up and comes down and goes up and comes down. You see, those moments when they would have been down, when there would have been economic difficulty, when the nation would have been experiencing economic difficulty, when you look at the scripture, in the case of Joseph, because of wisdom, there was prosperity. Even though the factors, there was still famine, the ground was not yielding like it was, you see. There was still famine on the land. But there was plenty because during the early period, they had packed enough, they have saved enough for the years of famine that was coming, you see. So this is what wisdom does for you. So even when the economy is no longer working, when everything is going down, you will still have abundance and enough to give to others, enough to provide for others, enough to sell to others, you see, just like it was with Joseph. So this is what wisdom does for you. And it is in wisdom that you understand what a company is. Like, it actually is a representation of you. You see, it is actually you being productive through a system or a machine that you have created that uses the efforts of others to make you rich and pays them wages. That is what a company is. That is what a business is. You see, it is just a machine that you have created that represents you, that functions outside of you, but is an extension of you to create value for others. And as it's creating value for others, using the efforts of others who are employees, who will be paid wages, you are getting richer. You are making a profit, while others who are working, those whose efforts are actually going into doing the work in the machine, those who are part of the machine, they are paid wages, they are making a living, but you who are making a profit are making a fortune, you see. So this is something you have to understand about what a company is, and it must constantly change. It must be ready to make great changes. And another thing that you have to understand is the concept of defining the purpose of your company. What does your company do? A lot of people define their company wrongly. You see, they define the mission statement wrongly. They define the vision statement wrongly. They define the purpose of the company. What need does this company exist to meet? Let us say that you own a taxi company. You see, you were perhaps somebody who you started out with one taxi, but later on now you have like 12 or 20 taxis. When Uber came out, you should have seen that this is where the world is going. So rather than continuing in the way that you have always gone, you should have started your own app. and spread and done exactly what Uber was doing. You see, you should have gone in that direction immediately. That is what you should have done. There are a lot of people who owned taxi companies that now they have little or no profits because of Uber. There are a lot of people who own hotels who are complaining about Airbnb and are saying Airbnb stole customers. No, the owners of these hotels had billions when Airbnb was looking for somebody to give them only 1 million. You see, however, they did not see the changes in the market. They did not define their company correctly. They defined themselves as just hotels, instead of defining themselves as places where people can stay for brief periods. Where if they had defined themselves and known that they are just places where people can stay for brief periods, then they could have seen the problem that Airbnb was. And they could have seen that Airbnb will take all their customers. In the same way, if somebody who wants a taxi company defines himself properly as somebody who people pay to take them from point A to point B in a car, they would have seen that Uber was a huge problem. They could have seen that carpooling is also a huge problem. And what would they do? Instead of fighting it, they will transform their business to offer these services. And if they had gone into it with all the money that they had, then there would not be any Uber. It would be them. There will not be any Airbnb. It would be them. You see? So these are things that you have to understand. How do you define your company? And when you define it based on the value you are giving the customer, the benefits that the customer is getting, not on the structure of what it is, not that it is a hotel. Break it down. It is a place where people can stay overnight. It is a place where people can stay for brief periods. Then you can see that the place is open. There are many places where people can stay for brief periods. But now there's the issue of also making it profitable. So you could see how Airbnb was a big problem. This is the problem that Walmart had. There should be no Amazon. Everything that Amazon is what Walmart should be. But Walmart made the same mistake that IBM made with Microsoft. Everything that Microsoft is, everything that Apple is what IBM computers should have been. And when you study it, that is actually where the ideas for a lot of what you see and how Windows, what Bill Gates did with Microsoft, and what Steve Jobs did with Apple, it all came from IBM. And the gentleman who they actually got the main idea of the Windows from, you see, and because back in the day, computers were just, you own it, you actually start coding from the moment you own it. But the concept of the Windows and the user interface and all of that came from an employee at IBM, who actually showed Bill Gates and Steve Jobs these things. And that is how they went and developed it and turned it into such a profitable company. You see, so these are things that you must understand. These are things that you must know. If IBM had defined what it was differently, it would have gone into all these things. You see, so it is even funny, and you know, a lot of you may remember the game Atari. You see, the game Atari, as wonderful as that game is, do you know that that is the company that Steve Jobs worked for? You see, before he left Atari and started Apple Computers, what if Atari expanded its mind and said, we are not just a company that is making chips, computer chips for video games. Let us make computer chips for different purposes and let us expand. Let us understand that we are actually a technology company. We are actually a company that makes products for the electronic industry. If they had defined themselves differently, if they had seen themselves differently and adapted to certain changes, there would be no Apple Computers. Everything that Apple was would basically be, since it was Steve Jobs would have remained and done all of that within Atari. But all of that is something that you would have to go to the broadcast series Silicon Valley Cafe and listen to all of that. Within one of the broadcasts, they are actually going to that on a deeper and a much more dedicated level. You see, so these are things that you have to understand. A lot of people have missed opportunities because they did not define their company correctly and they do not know what the company is. When you look at your target market, let us say that you are a music company. You see, there are a lot of music companies that went out of business. Why? They stuck to the old way of doing things. Look at Toys R Us. It no longer exists. It's filed for bankruptcy and it has closed down. It's terrible. When the internet came out and everybody was shifting to the internet, why didn't they see? Why didn't they even change their physical stores? You see, if they had changed their physical stores to be what the customers really want, you have to really understand what service you are actually providing beyond just the product that you have. Do not define your company based on your current products or the product category in the market. Don't say we make Walkmans. We are Walkmans today. Don't say we make CD players. We are CD players today. If you define yourself as we make machines where people can listen to music, then when you saw cell phones coming out, when you saw, as in the smartphone, when you saw different things with the computer, then you would go into that. You know that you have to make apps for this or you have to enter the industry. You see? So these are things that you have to really look at and understand. Define your company correctly. Do never define your company based on its product or a product category. Define it by the basic, most simplistic explanation of the service or benefits that you are giving to the customer. That is what you should do. You see, so that is it for this episode. There's much to say, but I'll leave it as it is. You should also understand that there are times when it is actually profitable to close down the business, but that is when you have made a mistake and you want to make some readjustment, but it is still you. You know, what you are doing at such times, you see, where you may file for bankruptcy so that you will not have to sink too low and start rising out of the pit, you see, in order to press that refresh button. But it is still technically still you. So in essence, what is happening is that you are just pulling a stunt to shake off certain debts from you and then refresh and start again. So it's like an opportunity for the company to start again under a different name, under a different registration. But now you have learned a lot more and you can go towards that market segment. Keep in mind, someone once said that the purpose of a business is to acquire customers. You see, you are there to serve a customer. You are not there to create products. Even though you would have to create products to serve the customer, your mind is in acquiring customers. You see, it is the people. And there is something that is very important. When you look at a company like Toys R Us that went bankrupt, you see, the question there is, why didn't it look at what its customers were doing? Its customers were now, a lot of them, playing video games or going to amusement parks. You see, there were still those who were getting toys, but those who were getting toys were now buying it online. And it was obviously their parents, you see. So when you look at all this, there was no reason for people to go to Toys R Us stores. You see, the reasons decreased, and the customers are now video gamers. Why didn't Toys R Us, with all the money it had, why didn't it ever go into the video game market? You see, it should have followed a customer. You see, it should have kept its eye on pleasing the customer and follow the customer wherever the customer wants to go, and then provide what the customer is looking for, whatever the customer wants. Toys R Us, why in the world did it not have a video game company? With the kind of money it had, it should have had its own console, not just a company that is a video game developer. But you see, it didn't go there. There are so many other things that it did not do. You see, and things like that, that's actually ruin a company. So make sure you understand that it is about the customer. You follow the customer and you create for the customer what the customer wants. If the customer is going to be buying any products, go there. As far as that customer is your target audience, don't say, I must make the products I make work for that target audience. No. Follow the target audience and let the target audience decide the products you are going to create. You see, so that is what you should do and you should never stop doing. That is where your eye should be on, and that is how you should define your company and pass down that message. Let your managers and let your employees have that mindset. Let them know what they are really about. So that means that they may be into one thing today, next 2 years they may be into something else, but you are still catering to the same target audience. You are still providing what that target audience was. That is how it is. Remember the story of Joseph, you see. So you have to understand that change. A lot of time changes take place, but if you do not have wisdom, when those changes take place, you will go down with the markets, you will go down with the tragedy, you will go down with the ship. When if you had had wisdom, you could have stacked up and prepared, and you could have sailed and floated, you could have walked on water over the difficulty, over the financial problems. So that is it for this episode. Remember to go to PastorAlfred.com and subscribe, and tell your friends about PastorAlfred.com. If you haven't given your life to Christ, click on the salvation prayer link in the main menu on PastorAlfred.com and give your life to Christ. Also join the family, which is a Christian fellowship that I founded. Thank you and God bless you.